How you handle the biggest challenges that face you in production, on set, when you're a filmmaker, will define success, not only on the project, but really in life in general. I'm George Edelman, editor-in-chief of No Film School and host of this, the No Film School podcast. And my guest today is Petr Jackl, who wrote, directed, and produced the film that is out now, Medieval, starring Ben Foster and Michael Caine. Petr's story is an interesting one. Filmmaking is really a second life for him. How he came to it and how he utilizes aspects of his first life to thrive on set and in those challenging moments is something we'll get to eventually in the interview. But along the way, we're going to talk about how long it took to develop this insanely challenging piece. Medieval is about Jan Žižka, who is one of the most famous military leaders in the world, certainly one of the more important ones. We may not all know about him here, but in the Czech Republic and that area of the world, he is extremely well known, which is something we cover. He never lost a battle. This movie is all about him, but how you dilute a life like that into one movie, how you find funding for it, how you get stars attached, how you actually shoot it without all the money that you'd need to make a, say, Braveheart or Gladiator. These are all the things that Petr gets into in this interview. And look, coming out the gate with a movie like this, it's not easy. This is a high degree of difficulty. And so Petr had to face down a lot of very challenging aspects of production. Stunts, VFX, you name it. So here we go. Petr Jackl on Medieval.
This is a pretty ambitious feature film, like from its topic to its execution, its scale, its period, its war, its historically, you know, it's based on real stuff. There's a lot going on. When you set out to make a movie like this, it's daunting, right? How do you make something like this happen? How do you get this kind of movie off the ground? Because I'm sure a lot of filmmakers would love to do something like this scale, although it's challenging, but how do you make this happen? How do you get this going?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty challenging, you know. I started 11 years ago, and it's another challenge was that I'm from the Czech Republic, you know, which is Eastern, you know, former Eastern bloc of Europe. And, you know, just like we make movies there, but they are not this big, you know, and they're usually not in English. And so I decided what I wanted to do because Jan Žižka, the hero of the story, he is one of the most famous Czech person ever. And he is one of the biggest, you know, commanders of history. He never lost a battle. And
yeah, he's probably one of the most successful military commanders ever, right? And a lot of audiences aren't going to know initially, American audiences, who he is. But just for clarity, in the Czech, how significant is he? Does everybody know who he is in Czech Republic?
Absolutely. Everybody knows. Yeah, absolutely. Everybody knows who he is. You know, we learn about him at school. So he's, you know, just a part of that too. He's a real icon, you know, just like top five most famous Czech people ever. So, and it was just like, you know, I decided to do a movie about him just to show it to everybody, to the rest of the world, you know. So I decided to do it in English because, you know, otherwise it would be limited, you know, if I did it in Czech. And also the budget, you know, I needed some stars. And I wanted some stars, you know, but I knew that it's going to be very difficult. But I just like, you know, because I wrote it, produced it, and directed it, you know, I knew that I have to find money for that. I have to write some script which would be just international and based on true events, which is always complicated. But yeah, and then my favorite movie is Braveheart, you know, and I wanted to do a Czech Braveheart. So that was something what I always wanted to do to show how beautiful is our country, how great history we have. And and I wanted to show and, you know, say some emotional story of people, you know, who were, you know, fighting for freedom, basically, or for justice, and to show that there should be some, you know, just like faith, you know, in our lives. You know.
Yeah. And so going back again to because I kind of cut you off earlier. I apologize. You were just saying it was difficult to do it. You've been working on it for 11 years. You don't have this feature, like you've acted, you've produced, you know, you've done a bunch of other things. But was this always in the back of your mind, like, I'm going to work my way up to getting this movie made? How long ago did you start the process of developing the script and turning his life, it's a big life and it's, you know, like a well-known one, into a screenplay, like one single screenplay? And then I'm curious, like, again, how do you attach stars? How do you start getting money behind you so you can actually make it happen?
Yeah. I mean, the first idea came to me in 2011. You know, two guys, Marek Dobesh, Michal Petrush, came to me and said, hey, we've got a script here about, you know, our famous hero, you know, and he was like, it's about from his youth. When he was young, because everybody knows him as an old guy, because he was winning, you know, as an old guy. I said, oh, this is interesting. So I read the script, you know, and I said, this is a great idea, but we got to do it differently and so on. So then I started to develop the script with other writers, you know, which wrote it really well. Petr Bok wrote another script. My father helped me a lot, you know, he was just like navigating me. And then I wrote it also with some other US writers. But then at the end, I decided just like to forget about everything and to find a different approach, you know, and to write it on my own. And it took me another like 3 years to finish it.
Wow. What got you to the point where you're like, I'm starting all over again. Like, I have a whole new take. What made you do that?
It was like, you know, we had like about 6 scripts when I started to like to write it absolutely again. And I felt like, you know, it's not clear for the international audience. It was too much Czech or too far from the story. And I decided just like I had clear idea about it. And I knew that I had to do it, you know, on my own, just like to be satisfied as a director to do it. And because it always takes me like, you know, about five years to if I direct movie, I spend, you know, my time with it, you know, like with developing it and then editing. So I wanted to do it right for me, because I always do movies for me to be satisfied on my own, because if I'm not satisfied, then, you know, just like, you know, I couldn't do it, you know, like that just for somebody. So yeah, I sure. needed to find something what I love about it, you know, and that's why I decided to start, you know, from the scratch, you know, and do it again.
And when you finished that script and you were like, did you feel like, okay, after all these years, it's ready. What's the first thing you did with it? Those guys who came to you in 2011, were they still in the picture or was it a different team by then?
Yeah, it was completely different team. And, you know, I of course, I, you know, just like they are still there mentioned, you know, just like that it was sure. based on a previous script, you know, written by them. And then I brought mostly my father helped me, you know, and, you know, just like Petr Bok, another guy, and, you know, team of other people. But then I had to find the money. And, yeah. you know, just like once I had the script ready, I just like needed to find investors and persuade them that it's worth to give me, you know, just like basically close to $20 million, you know, depending on the exchange rate, which is now higher, so it's less, you know, it was like 17 at some points, you know, it was like around 20. So yeah, and it was another challenge, you know, and especially because we had, you know, a budget around 15 or 14, and then before the shooting start, you know, I got Michael Caine on board, I got Til Schweiger, Ben Foster starring, you know, Matthew Good. And, you know, because of that, you know, I had to go back to them and say, hey, guys, we've got these guys, you know, and I want to make this movie a little bit bigger. Would you be willing to, you know, invest even more? Because, you know, we've got awesome cast and I never expected that we can get these people. So they reconsidered it, you know, and they gave me more money for that. So I was super happy because I could do it as I wanted. And of course, the budget is still, you know, not comparing to Bravehearts or Gladiators, you know, because sure. it's much less. But we've got beautiful countryside, you know, castles. Old Prague is, you know, just like used in the movie. And we had over 600 VFX shots. So I think the scale is pretty good, you know, for this kind of movie.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Have you ever wanted to watch something and it's just not available in your region? Have you ever been curious what UK Netflix or maybe some other country's version of some of the popular streamers has available that your local one doesn't? Well, there's something called NordVPN. And by using NordVPN, with the click of a button, you can access all kinds of content that maybe you didn't even know existed. With 5,000 plus server options, no show is out of your reach. So use my link, nordvpn.com/nofilmschool, and you can receive a huge discount on a 2-year plan plus one free month. We all love to binge shows, but privacy is a big deal too. NordVPN keeps your information encrypted, so you never have to worry about your IP or location getting out. We all love watching and streaming all these shows, but we also care about our privacy, and NordVPN keeps your information encrypted, so you never have to worry about your IP or location getting out. And they've also doubled down on keeping you safe with their new threat protection feature. So say goodbye to intrusive website ads and malware. Even if you download an infected file, threat protection will kick in and delete it before it makes a mess of your computer or whatever device you're using. So don't forget that there is actually no risk to you by trying this because there's a 30-day money-back guarantee. So give it a try. If you like it, great. If you don't, you get a full refund and you can pretend the whole thing never happened. Check out my link, nordvpn.com/nofilmschool, to get your subscription started today.
I mean, that's part of what, yeah, I'm so curious about is that you got these major names attached. So you were able after doing that. And did you do that just through, how'd you connect with them? How'd you get them the script and get their interest in it? Because that's not easy to do, right? Like it's getting a script to stars of that caliber and having them sign on and you know, and then taking that information and getting more money, it's great. But like, what's the steps you took to get those actors?
I mean, this is actually, it was the most, you know, difficult thing, you know, on the process. And I didn't know that before. I thought like once I have the script, once I have the money, I can go to anybody. Of course, I knew that it's going to be difficult, but I couldn't imagine that it's going to be this difficult. And yeah, and I just like, you know, and everybody told me like, you know, first you have to cast the lead, because if you go to any other actor, you know, like Michael Caine or somebody like that, you know, they will ask you, and who is the lead? And if you have no answer, they're not going to give you a decision that they are doing it.
Interesting.
So, yeah, interesting. And I didn't know that. You know, so I just like, you know, I was trying to cast, you know, the lead. And once Ben Foster told me yes, I was so happy because he's, you know, really, you know, a cool actor who can act, who is minimalistic, what I always wanted. He resembles to Jan Žižka. He looks like medieval guy. So that was what I wanted. And once he said yes, I immediately, you know, sent the script to Michael Caine. My producing partner here, Cassian Elvas, helped me with that. He's got experience with many movies, but he told me, I have done over 100 movies, and I always wanted to work with Michael Caine, but it never happened. So it doesn't make sense, and you are just wasting your time. And suddenly, like in a week from that, you know, offer, Michael called me to my cottage, you know, in Prague, and he said, "Hello, it's Michael Caine." It was unknown number, and I was just like, "Hello, it's Michael Caine. You've got lovely screenplay, and I'm looking forward to work with you." And I was like, "Wow!" And I couldn't even speak, you know. So just like I went down, I said, "Oh, of course, yeah, that's my pleasure." Blah blah blah. And then I went down and I told it to my family, and we were yelling like, you know, like crazy, like Michael Caine is on board. And then I told it to my partner, Cassian, and he was like absolutely panicking. And he sent me a picture of him with Michael Caine. Cassian is 13 years old, and he has a picture with with Michael. And he wrote me, "It was my dream. And it took me 50 years to work with Michael Caine, and my dream came through with you, a guy from Eastern Europe." He would never just like, you know, I would never, you know, imagine that this is going to be the case. So he brought the whole family to Prague, and when we were shooting, his mother, everybody, and we actually agreed to produce another movie with Michael Caine, and we did in Canada. It's called Bestsellers. It's with Aubrey Plaza, and because we love Michael Caine, and you know, we became friends. So it's unbelievable.
When did you guys? I'm just curious. You made his dream come true. That's amazing. I was going to say that even before you told me about the 13-year-old picture part. When did you guys tell him about the other project? Like, when did you, in the process, were you just like, "We're all working together, this is great, and hey, want to do this other one"? Like, how does things like that come together?
Yeah, I mean, it was like, you know, more like Cassian was talking to him, you know, during the shooting, because I was discussing with Michael only his part, and he mm-hmm. was absolutely amazing, and work with him was really a dream. And he's just like, he is so humble. This guy, his wife, I love them, absolutely adore them. They helped me so much. And just like, you know, and then, you know, I just said, you know, "Hey, Michael, are we going to do another movie?" Which, you know, Cassian already talked to him about it. I said, "Yeah, sure." So we went to Canada. We had dinners. We talked about it. And once, you know, we became friends, I told Cassian, I told Michael, "Hey, Michael, would you want to have your own 3D character in our game, which is going to be done for Medieval?" And he said, "Sounds interesting. So let me think about it." And then he came back and said, "Hey, I told my my grandchildren, you know." And then they said, "Yeah, you have to do it. You have to do it. You want to play that game?" And Michael said yes. So we've got Michael like
in the video game.
In a video game, which is a combination of the movie. We are going to recut the movie. And it's combination with the video game, and it's going to be for PlayStation, Xboxes, everything, and it's going to be released at the beginning of the next year.
That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, he has done so much. Just having an actor around who's been working steadily and with everyone and on every kind of thing must be a learning experience for everyone on set, right? He must have all kinds of insights, and he must be just a wealth of knowledge and experience.
And you know, you're absolutely right. And it was just like, what was the best, like, once Michael Caine said yes, first of all, Ben Foster was like, what we've got Michael Caine on board, what's going on? And then it was immediate, like, everybody I asked to do anything in the movie, they just said, "With Michael Caine, are you kidding me?" Right? It's just like, yeah, I want to be in this movie. It was much easier, and it made my, just like Till Schweiger, you know, and Matthew Good, you know, they both were like, "Oh yeah, sure, absolutely. Do we have a scene with him, my character?" You know, like,
yeah. Oh, but I'm sure, like you said, even when you're doing things all down the line, right? Crew, location, whatever it is, like, everybody's kind of gets a little more pumped up, and like, this is cool. This movie feels, you know, bigger or different. But there's so much to take away from that. I mean, you don't know what it was about it that made him excited to do it. The script, you assume, right? Is it just the script that got him?
Yeah, that's what he told me. He told me, like, you know, he really enjoyed the script. And then he told me that he really enjoyed talking to me. And he said, yeah, I mean, just like, I felt like we can just, like, it can really work. And then later on, he told me, and I was right, you know. And, you know, now we just, like, you know, we are working on other stuff. You know, I like to talk to you. And so we just, like, we've got the chemistry there, which is unbelievable for me. And always when I say that, I'm kind of ashamed. Like, talking about just, like, being friend of Michael Caine, it's a little bit crazy. But that's how we feel, you know. So we just, like, he helps me on everything. We've got also a book, so he wrote me something for the book, like, you know, forward for the book. It's like every awesome. Day he surprises me with many things, how she supports me. You know, it's beautiful.
That's amazing.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
It was a labor of love. It took about 11 years. Like you said, Michael Caine comes along and things just kind of like move at a new pace and are happening really quickly. And you finish the movie and it gets, you know, released. Like, what's the release process like? What's the expectation? And how does that whole experience go for you? Like going from just, you know, seeing this movie finished and then, you know, out in the world and like knowing that it's so hard, you know, for people to find movies and like there's so many movies and content is so different now with all the streaming and all of that. And as a filmmaker, like what, how did you navigate all that?
Yeah, I mean, it's just like very, very difficult to find, you know, movies in these days, you know, even for me when I'm looking for some, yeah. It's difficult. Yeah, I mean, I just like, I have no expectations. I'm trying, let's say it right. You know, I'm trying to have no expectations. And, you know, I hope that there will be some people who will feel, you know, the message there, which is like, you know, especially now in these days, because there's a war close to, you know, all of us kind of, you know, in Ukraine, and it's very close to the Czech Republic. And, you know, this movie is about, you know, fighting for freedom. And I think just like it's much better that this movie goes, you know, to the theaters now than 2 years ago when it was planned, but the pandemic stopped us. So I think, you know, it's much more relevant, you know, and we should, you know, just like think about everything, like, you know, what is going on and what each of us can do about it. And yeah, and I hope that this is, you know, a little bit something else, you know, some, you know, just like medieval piece. And there are not many of them because they are pretty difficult to be done. And I hope that people will find it, not only because, you know, there's a lot of fighting, but also because there is a, you know, strong, you know, story, personal story, which is like for me more important than anything else.
It's also
else.
True. You know, it's not just, you know, it's a true story that a lot of people don't know about a period yeah. of history that's kind of an interesting and brutal and fascinating. I think that, you know, one thing you mentioned in talking about that was we were talking about release, but there's so many challenges to making a movie like this. When you're thinking about back on it between stunts, period costumes, all the VFX that you have to do, and then, you know, in the edit, like what were the hardest things to do? Like, you know, just day to day, because this is a very hard kind of movie to make, right? Like that, like it's not, every movie is challenging, but this one, there's all these additional degrees of difficulty. So like to have the dream, I'm going to make this true to life medieval epic, you know, like, and to actually get there on set, like what are the hard parts? What are the hardest parts?
You know, I was actually really enjoying the preparations, you know, and everything, like just like what was happening before. Even, you know, sometimes when I was rewriting scripts, you know, it was kind of annoying and just like, yeah, but because I come from, you know, a sports background, you know, I used to do judo. I was at Olympic Games in Sydney 2000, and that was my first life. And I got injured like, you know, a year before, and I couldn't continue in judo. But I was, you know, I'm used to train. I'm used to train to win. And if you want to win, you really have to train hard. And that's what I did here. So I was really preparing everything hard. And then when we were shooting, it was hell. It was absolute hell. It's been absolutely the you know, the most brutal experience in my life. And I was absolutely exhausted physically and psychologically. I mean, just like, so it, it was very difficult for me, but I survived. And then I again super enjoyed, you know, the editing. And I was editing with Steve Rosenblum, who is an editor of Braveheart or The Last Samurai, which was absolutely amazing experience, you know.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, you know, with because he was stuck in US, you know, and he couldn't come back with me to Prague to finish the editing. So Dirk Westerwelt, you know, who did Logan or Le Mans 66, you know, was finishing the movie with me. Another great experience. He has a Czech wife. That was also something very interesting, you know, big coincidence. But the most challenging was the first week of shooting. Because first day we had, you know, one of the most difficult fights, you know, which is in the beginning of the movie. And I had also Michael Caine, Ben Foster on the set. And I was like, you know, it was crazy because, like, you know, many big directors say that, you know, the first days they usually don't use because the team is not just like, it is just like,
or they put something easy, right? And you had the hardest stuff and you had the big stars hanging out.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I knew it and I didn't want to do it, but there was no other way to do it because of Michael Caine's schedule and others, you know, schedules. So I had to just, do it. And it was super difficult. And nothing was right. All the stunts, you know, and fighting was like suddenly something happened, you know, and anything was as I wanted. And because I come also from stuntman world, you know, because, you know, I used to work on big movies as a stuntman. I just wanted that perfect, you know, and I hate, you know, if I'm very punctual and if something is not exactly as I want, I don't like that. And I try to change it, but here it was like too many things were, you know, just not right. And I couldn't fight it anymore. So I was trying to find it and use it as an advantage, you know, and whatever was wrong, I thought, you know, just like I said to myself, okay, let's use it and make it even better if, you know, you shoot it differently. So I had to improvise, you know, and it was just like, it was really difficult.
But you got through the first week, and I assume some of it is made it into the final cut, right? That first few days, like, 'cause it was such important stuff.
Yes, it all got to the final cut, but it was hard, you know, in the beginning to edit because before I found the way how I want to do it, and I had to do it a little bit differently than I wanted to do it in the beginning. But I think it's equally, you know, good, or, you know, maybe even, you know, better in ways, you know.
So you had to be kind of flexible with your vision because things had changed on the ground, right? And that's
absolutely that's really the most important thing, especially if you're doing, you know, this kind of like this budget movie, like movie around this budget medieval movie, which is like, you know, we would need, you know, a bit more money to say, okay, I need two more days, you know, for this scene, and then it would be fine, you know. But I was also shooting underwater, and we've got underwater fights, and they were so difficult that you had to have, you know, for every fighter in water, you have to have, you know, a scuba diver. So if you had five fighters underwater, you have five scuba divers. If you had 10 fighters underwater, 10 scuba divers. And it was just like, I couldn't imagine how difficult is this, you know. And sometimes the water was murky, sometimes it was clear. Yeah. And I couldn't shoot the one scene in murky and clean water at the same time. So. Yeah. Wow. It was very
So you mentioned like Olympic athletic training as a first life. I'm wondering if anything you learned in that, like, 'cause you kind of mentioned it, but I'm curious to end on this, like, helped you in the moment when you're facing the extreme challenges and like self-doubt, because in those moments when it's getting really hard and you're like, the water's murky or clear and my stars are here and this is not perfect, this is not going the way I want. How do you like hold your center? Because every filmmaker is going to hit those moments on anything. But how do you like lock in and focus? Yeah. And does that training, all those years of training, Did it come in handy in any way?
I can assure you that I couldn't do it without the training and, you know, like the judo, what I learned there, because, you know, it's been very tough. You know, judo was like, sometimes, you know, I was hurt and I still had to fight, you know, and it hurt a lot. And I just like, I was so tired that I couldn't walk and I had to fight. I had to train.
Just like showing up to set, right? On day two.
Yeah. And that was absolutely the same here, you know? And of course, sometimes if something is not happening right and you feel so bad about it, you know, that you are kind of paralyzed, you know? And you know, everybody knows this feeling, you know, if you get some negative, you know, message, you know, and you just cannot do anything, and suddenly you feel much more tired. So I tried to not to think about it this way. And I was trying to find in every negative like message, I tried to find something good. And that's my way how to survive that, you know, just like whatever. If you get, you know, just I got some message that the fight, which is in the middle, which is probably the biggest one, you know, the they didn't have enough time to do it with actors, you know, and they couldn't, you know, make the scenes right. I mean, the fight right. And when I saw it, I was like, oh my God, I cannot shoot this like that. So I was thinking about it and I found another strategy of Jan Žižka. And that was like, you know, using smoke, you know, just like, you know, just like he put hay on smoke, you know, on fire, and then just like pour water on it, you know, and then it was everywhere was smoke and you couldn't see. And it helped the scene so much that it looks beautiful because you go through fog and, you know, just, I mean, through smoke and just suddenly somebody appears and fights, you know, so it helped it, you know, and it just like, you know, I had to think hard and to find the right way how to, you know, shoot it.
Isn't it sort of true that like that is, I don't know a lot about judo, but isn't that kind of the whole thing? Like finding a different way, like taking what's coming at you and like turning it around and being like, I mean, aren't you basically judo filmmaking?
You are good. You are good. Actually, yeah, this is very clever. I love it. I love this question because in judo, you are not using your power as much as you are using the power of the opponent, you know. So once he attacks, you know, you're trying to move the way that you use his, you know, just power to throw him down. And you always just like, you know, trying to be clever and, you know, just like not to push against wall because you cannot win that. So you are trying to find the way how to make it happen. And it was exactly happening, you know, during the shooting. When I was trying to do it with force, it was not good, you know, and it just like, you know, I couldn't do it because, you know, I didn't have stuff on the set, you know, and I just, you know, I couldn't change that. So
there's like, you run up against a wall, literally, right?
Exactly. So I was trying to find some other ways how to do it. My wife helped me with that a lot because she said, she always told me like, yeah, everything is as it should be. And you will see. And I said, okay, no, how this is wrong. You know, it's just like, it shouldn't be like this, you know, but later on I understood, you know, what she meant, you know, because it just, right now I feel it was right. Of course, you know, I could have enjoyed it more, you know, if it was, you know, easier. But I think maybe there would not be some moments which I really like about the movie. So I think it just like, it was right. You know, it was, you know, and it was big experience for me also from my personal life, you know, because it's the same. If it's judo training, fighting or filming or personal life with your family, it's always the same because you get to the same situations there or there. And it's just like, you know, only about how you can handle them. And, you know, this helped me for sure.
There's a really good philosophy in that, but also we don't know what it leads to, like how it makes you better down the road or how it changes what happens next or future films or the Michael Caine project you have working on. There's a lot of things. So that's great though. I love it. It's the judo of filmmaking. Really appreciate you taking the time today and excited. Movie comes out very soon everywhere. When people hear this, it'll be out already. So go see it. Thanks so much for the time, Peter.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Peter, for coming on the podcast. Thanks, everyone, for listening. There's just no question that the judo style of filmmaking is the one most of us will have to adopt, whether it's in filmmaking or really anything in life. It's interesting to me to note that way back, not that long ago, really, earlier this summer in 2022, we interviewed the editor of Top Gun. And one of the most fascinating things about Top Gun Maverick, the big movie of this year, biggest movie in many years, one of the biggest of all time, is that when they didn't get something exactly right, they simply did it again. Tom Cruise is in a position where that's how he can make a movie. That is not how most people can make a movie. And I hold that sort of as a constant example and reminder that the judo style of filmmaking that Peter is championing here, where you take whatever dead end you hit and turn it into something else, that's the art most of us have to master. What Tom Cruise does on Top Gun is literally runs right through the brick wall, or says, we're going home tomorrow. We're going to remove the brick wall and create something completely different. I don't know how you want to utilize that metaphor, but the point is, it's fascinating to think about the discrepancy between the styles, but also for us to recognize that you can do very hard things. You can make movies about real people that take place in medieval times with all kinds of battles and major stars and underwater and et cetera, et cetera. It's possible. You just have to maybe spend 11 years prepping for it and face all the challenges that you come across judo style. Anyway, be sure to like, rate, and subscribe to the podcast. Check out all kinds of filmmaking education, news, and more at nofilmschool.com. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, send us your questions and your comments and anything you want to talk about film-wise at editor@nofilmschool.com. We'll try to respond and maybe even feature some of your questions and comments on the podcast. We have our weekly news roundup podcast, which comes out usually on Thursdays or Fridays. And of course, we have these interviews, which come out Tuesdays and sometimes Wednesdays. Thank you so much for listening.